So when Jesus was in his ministry on earth, he kind of encouraged his early followers by calling them. He called them the light of the world. He encouraged them, saying, "You're the light of the world." He said, "You're like a city on a hill." He said. But with this encouraging statement, being called the light of the world, along with that comes the necessity and the command that they shine that light. We have to share it. We can't put it under a bushel, he said. We have to be that light for the world. Share the good and gracious light of Christ. We have to share it. Can't put it under a bushel. And so we're continuing to explore this idea this week of shining light, of doing good in the name of Jesus. And so so we're reading this week from the book of Colossians from chapter 3. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in the one body, and be thankful. The Apostle Paul here in the book of Colossians is writing to a young church that he's trying to teach and to guide in the right way. And it seems that the Christians that Colossians was written to were struggling somewhat with what it really means to be a Christian. And it's not hard to guess what struggles they might have had. You can read it in the scripture. Just before our scripture today, Paul is listing out these sins that they're struggling to leave behind, like anger and malice, slander, abusive language. And Paul knows that they have to leave it all behind. They have to move on and be something better. Being a part of the church, having heard the gospel, should mean something. To confess a faith in Jesus, it means a way of living that's different than before. Being a people of faith means looking less and less like our old selves and more and more like Jesus. And so Paul gives the church a challenge to live out. He gives them five virtues in the Christian life: compassion and kindness, humility, meekness, patience. It's these things, he's saying, that start to make us look more and more like Jesus. Paul often says, be imitators of Christ in his letters. Be imitators of Christ. Live like Jesus did. Act like Jesus did, with the kind of love and humility and compassion and kindness that Jesus said Jesus had. And here Paul, he says it in a new way, and Paul says, clothe yourselves in these things. Clothe yourselves in these things. Clothe yourselves in compassion and kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Get rid of your old clothes. They're no good. Get rid of them. If you have been raised with Christ, he says, if we are the chosen ones, holy and beloved, as Paul says, we have to put to death that old life and step into a new way of living and being in the pattern of Jesus. There are all kinds of ways that we can struggle terribly with embracing these great virtues that Paul is listing. These words from Paul here are not just another set of rules for us to follow, not just a list a to-do list for us. It's something else. It's something deeper about us that is changed. It's something deeper. If we're raised with Christ, if we've put to death this old life, if we're being raised with Christ, we are being made new and transformed in Christ. It's something deeper than just a list of to-dos. Paul says at the beginning of our scripture, he says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. He begins it all calling us God's chosen, holy, beloved. This is who we are, Paul's saying, and that means something. That means something for us. The famous psychologist William James said that people, by and large, become what they think about themselves. We become what we think about ourselves. And so Paul's approach here, it's not just to point out our flaws. Instead, Paul tells us who we are in God's eyes, God's chosen. We are holy, beloved, he calls us. And he encourages us to grow into that image. The pastor, Craig Massey, told about being in a restaurant once when he heard an angry father say to his young son, he said, "What are you good for anyway?" And the boy, who had just spilled his milk, put his head down and replied, "Nothing," he said. Later, Massey said he was upset with his own son for a small thing, and he heard himself ask, "What are you good for anyway?" And his son, too, replied, "Nothing." And immediately, he regretted the question. And as he thought about it, he realized that the question was actually okay, but the answer was wrong. And so a few days later, when his son committed another minor offense, he asked, "What are you good for anyway?" But before his son could reply, he went and he grabbed hold of him and he hugged him. And he said, I'll tell you what you're good for. You're good for loving," he said. "You're good for loving." And before long, whenever he asked the question, his son would soon say, I'm good for loving. What are you good for? I'm good for loving." When we hear that we are loved, when we start to understand ourselves as someone who is chosen, someone who could be holy and beloved, to take that seriously, this starts to change things. Because of what God has done for us in the gift of Christ for us, we are now totally, thoroughly loved. We have now been chosen, been made holy in Christ Jesus. And so we can set aside our old set of clothes, put on a new set. We can let our old selves go and start to become who we should be. Because we are loved, we can start to clothe ourselves in that same kind of love. Because of God's kindness and compassion for us, it can help us to learn to turn and to share that with others. And we can become I'm going to start to become the kind of people that we should be as followers of Jesus, the kind of people who God sees us as. I read this this little thing that poked some fun at Christians, which is really helpful for us, I think, sometimes. And it listed all these things that Christians are like. Like it said, some Christians are like wheelbarrows, and they must be pushed. Right? That's some of you. No. Or it said, some Christians are like canoes and need a good paddling, right? Susie. Some Christians, as he said, are like footballs. Some Christians are like footballs, and you can't tell where they're going to bounce next, right? And then he said, but some Christians, though, some Christians, he said, are like the North Star. They're like the North Star. They're there when you need them, faithful, always shining. And each day we have the choices set before us, decisions along the way that can lead us to embrace God's image in us, to conform more and more to the life that God has for us. It is God's desire that we might become this beautifully clothed Christian, always faithful, always shining, with compassion and kindness and humility. This kind of virtuous life that God is calling us into, it is a gift to all of those around us. It's a light that shines for the world. Paul Tillich was a theologian from the last century, and he participated in the Second World War. And he told of a woman he met who was a diplomat's daughter. And she had all the privileges that one might imagine a diplomat's daughter having. And she left all of that to come out and to work among the troops who had been wounded and many who were dying. And Tillich said that it didn't matter to her which side of the war they were on. If they were wounded, she was there to help them. And she stayed up long nights, and she held their hands, some of them as they died. And her smile and her warmth helped them deal with the terrible situation they were in. And Tillich said that that they never ever talked about their faith. They just didn't. They didn't talk about it. But he said it also wasn't necessary. Anyway, he said, it wasn't necessary anyway, because it was crystal clear for everyone to see. She didn't need to talk about it, because it was like she was wearing the dress of God's love, clothed in compassion, humility, kindness. My grandma Nixon made me an old quilt before she passed away. That's made from all of her and grandpa's old jeans. And it's really heavy, made from all these old jeans, really heavy. And really, it's not the most attractive quilt you've seen. We keep it in the closet. I look at it when I want to, but, you know, it doesn't stay out on the couch. Though, of course, it means something to me. It's all the better because of those little holes and the tears from their living and their life on the farm. These little paint spots on some of the little jean squares, and those are grandma's jeans. She was crafty. And there's actually in another spot in the corner, there's actually what we think is some deer blood. We hope. Those would be grandpa's jeans. They were old clothes, old and worn. They always were frugal, dressed that way. Always a flannel shirt and jeans for grandpa. But they had these new clothes too. A different kind. Different kind, though. I heard a story about my grandparents a couple weeks ago that I'd never heard before. And it got back to us through one of the disciples' ministers in Kansas. And years ago, he was traveling with his family up in Canada, and they were trying to get off this shuttle and trying to carry two kids and a car seat and a stroller and having a horrible time, heck of a time. And then this older couple offered to help, and they carried the stroller and the car seat off the shuttle and helped them down the street to get to where they were going, and then they waited there for their ride to show up. And they got to talking, and it happened that both of them went to a Disciples of Christ church. The older couple said that their son was a pastor at a Disciples church, which ended up being the only way that we would have ever heard this story, because that pastor ran into my dad at a church conference years later. They connected the dots and told my dad this story and how much it meant that someone was willing to give of themselves to help that way. And it was a little weird hearing that story that Grandpa and Grandma were in Canada. Never heard them talk about being in Canada, but they were. It was a little less weird, though, that they did something like that for someone. It seems about right. It seems like that's the clothes that they wore. It's the kind I want to wear in my life. It's the kind I want to wear. We were talking this last week in our life group about growing into the image of God. We were talking specifically about how God is so generous. God is so faithfully generous in giving that God gave his son. It's a testament to God's giving and compassionate nature. And that we are made in God's image. This means that to become who we were made to be, it means living into that. And I confessed in class that I really felt like I have a long ways to go in that department. That was my confession, though I know I'm probably not alone. And I'm glad. This is the way it works, I think, though. We are becoming. I'm thankful that we are always becoming, always. We are growing. Thank God that we have each new day to start to be made new, to live ever more fully in the way of Jesus, to conform more and more to the life that God has for us, to be more and more that beautifully clothed Christian with compassion, kindness, humility, patience, always faithful in love, so we can be that light of Christ for the world. Amen.